Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. Lots of things compete for our attention. Lots of things impact us. In today's gospel, the rich man walked away. He was not able to let go of his wealth. What impacts you? What is the most important thing in your life? What guides your decision making? Who influenced you growing up? What or who influences you now? Growing up, my parents probably had the greatest impact on who I became and who I am now. My parents were extremely generous, but were not wealthy, as we define that word. They were self-employed. They worked 6 days a week in their candy store, but they gave generously from what they had, other time, talents, and treasure. And in their case, it was literally cases of candy. I remember growing up seeing my dad take an unopened 25-pound box of chocolate and give it to someone who had come from an orphanage in Los Angeles. I saw him fill boxes and give it to a homeless shelter in Santa Monica. And I saw both of them very invested in their church. Their witness of generosity impacted me. Their witness of God was their number one impact on me. We went to church every single Sunday. The day after I was ordained and stood in this pulpit, I shared in my sermon that I had always wanted to be a priest when I grew up, like the ones I saw in church every Sunday when I was that little girl. So I played mass with my stuffed animals and gave them for communion Necco wafers, but not the green or the pink ones. We prayed together as a family, we worked together as a family, and we struggled together as a family. I did not like having to clean the store floors on a Sunday afternoon once a month. And I remember one of the first times I had to sweep, my dad grabbed the broom and showed me the better way to sweep. And so to this day, I use muscle. I knew their source of strength, what made them able to get up every morning, and it became my source of strength, God. And my relationship with God grew as I grew up. I began to know God, the giver of all life, no matter how we are. I was very shy when I was young, and I stuttered terribly. I couldn't raise my hand in class even through high school. I was afraid I would stutter. So I was very lonely many times in those moments. But I do not feel lonely now, even when I am alone. I do experience that last part of the gospel. There is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or land for my sake and for the sake of the good news, but that person will receive 100 times more now in this time, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and land with persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. I have not literally left behind a family or sold my house. But I have received 100 times more now in this life. I've also received persecution, but I've discovered most of the time that persecution is within me, wondering at times if I'm good enough to be in charge here. The 100 times more is very real. It is grace. It is love. And I feel sometimes I receive more than I give, because I have become a part of this family at St. Francis. You are very much my family, and I feel it deeply. This week we had two memorials, on Thursday for Priscilla Logan and yesterday for Nancy Rorty. So Thursday morning, I know it's out of order, we did the committal at the graveside, and Thursday afternoon we did the memorial to celebrate Priscilla in our chapel. And at the graveside, I had each family member with holy oil anoint the casket. And during that service, I spoke briefly about Priscilla, and my voice cracked, and I felt on the edge of tears as all of a sudden I had flashbacks of moments with her, and I would miss her. I came home Thursday night, decided to go to bed early, began to change into my PJs when my phone rang. One of our parishioners was in the emergency room, so I put on my clergy shirt and collar and went over. And in the emergency room, I spent time with our parishioner and her daughter. We talked. The blood work was taken. The CAT scans were taken. And I prayed out loud as we all held hands. And then I left. I walked out the door of her emergency room, and just as I turned the corner right next door, a parishioner's husband stepped out and said, "My wife heard your voice. Could you come in and pray with her?" So I left one room and went right into another. And she was seriously hurt and needed morphine. She had fallen, and she was waiting for the x-rays. The doctor came in, touched her ankle. She winced, touched her knee. She winced. So I prayed out loud with her. We held hands with her husband. And then eventually I went home. In those moments, when I'm driving to a pastoral call or to an emergency, I choose to get as centered as I can. And I breathe in the word God and exhale love over and over and over. So it's not me, but Christ who lives in me. And I say to God, "Okay, I'll show up, but you take over." But God doesn't take over and use us like puppets. God uses our voice, our hands, to touch another. But we need to be in that moment to be used. So we need to truly show up. And it's often not the words, but the presence that is God's grace for another person. There are so many ways to give of ourselves. Today we begin our annual giving season called stewardship. It's a time to think about our pledges for next year. What kind of financial commitment shall we make? What ways shall we contribute our time and talents? I know I have more than I need. I think I'm a very wealthy woman, and I need to share, and so I do. I tithe. And I have a discretionary account that is for pastoral needs. And I use it to get $50 Vons Club cards to those who need assistance, or sometimes they give money when someone is desperate. And the money from this discretionary account comes from our operating budget and from honorariums I receive doing memorials and weddings. And it gets used up. So once in a while I have to write, not have to, I choose to write a personal check. Because in that moment, I really am experiencing, "There but for the grace of God go I." So I take nothing for granted, especially getting to serve you here. I have never felt more fulfilled, blessed, and joyful. And my joy and love are fed because of my interchanges with you, especially in those moments when I let go and let God be God. So the other night in the emergency room, after the blood work and the CAT scan, it was determined that the reason our parishioner fainted and fell onto the pavement was because she was dehydrated. We can forget to drink water and get dehydrated, but we can also forget to feed our souls. We can get spiritually dehydrated. When you give, you receive. So what restocks your well of giving? I believe it is grace in all forms. Grace is an energy that keeps grace in circulation. There was an interesting story a friend posted on Facebook. It is called The Pending Coffee. Pending, P-E-N-D-I-N-G. We were in a small coffee shop. Two customers arrive, five coffees, two for us, three pending. They paid for five and took two. "What's pending coffee?" I asked. "Wait and see." More customers. Two girls came in. They paid normally. But after a while, three customers came in and asked for seven coffees. They only took three, but paid for seven. While we were talking, a homeless man enters the coffee shop. With a quiet voice, he asks, "Do you have any pending coffee?" And receives a free coffee, already paid for. It had been pending and waiting. This type of charity was born in Naples, Italy. People pay in anticipation for the coffees and even meals for others who can't. Some years ago, Mother Teresa visited Australia. Mother Teresa died many, many years ago. She was born in Croatia, but gave her life to serve the poor in India. So in Australia, a young Franciscan was assigned to escort and assist her while she was there. He felt highly honored and looked forward to learning all that he could from Mother Teresa, but found himself very frustrated because people constantly crowded around Mother Teresa and the young Franciscan could hardly get a word in edgewise. Finally, he had an inspiration. Ah, Mother Teresa was scheduled to go next to New Guinea. Perhaps he could pay his own airfare and accompany her on the flight. Surely, sitting next to her on an airplane, he would have uninterrupted time with this saintly woman. So he approached Mother Teresa and asked permission to accompany her on the flight. Mother Teresa asked, "You have enough money to pay airfare to New Guinea?" The young man replied happily that he did. So she said, "Then give that money to the poor. You'll learn more from that than anything I can tell you." In today's gospel, the rich man walked away. He was not able to let go of his wealth. What is the most important thing in your life? What guides your decision making? I pray that the wisdom and presence of God guides you and strengthens you. I pray that you come to know the riches and depths of God's love for you. Thank you that together we continue to grow as God's family in this parish. Amen.